was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth there, it listeth and is, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from it, even the Son of Man which is in it. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have ever eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world, in the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because of their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought of God. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Lord, we thank you for this blessing that you give us, being able to get up and come to church and worship you. Just be with us throughout this teaching, Lord. Just help me to share what's in my heart with everyone, and pray that everyone gets a blessing. We thank you so much for this day again, and go with us now. Lead, God, and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I guess the title of this is going to be The Great Necessity. Now, studying this, we've heard of Nicodemus throughout the scripture. The Bible refers to him, I think, three separate times in the Bible. What I come to find out, the study was, it was an awesome study. It was fun to learn about a little bit about the culture of it, how it worked, and just, him in general. It talks about, the person who he was. We start out with his description. Who is Nicodemus? And it tells us in verses, 1 that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. He was, to put it lightly, he was almost, his position was above the law. He was a religious leader. They were looked extremely high. They did no wrong. They were almost blameless. And I think this, lining this up is where, and he's talking to Jesus and asking questions almost, I don't know if it's context, is he's kind of maybe poking a little bit or, but Jesus answers really good. So, we'll talk a little bit about his religion Now, in Romans, and you don't have to turn there. You can just listen, because I've got several verses if I get through them all. In Romans 10, it tells us, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and go about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was, you know, considered righteous and high ranking. So, you know, he was up there. And I think when he come to Jesus at this point is when, and they walk through this. I really think he got saved. And, I think he come, as we all do sometimes, as a religious person.
Right.
We go to church all of our life and we understand, you know, we know what it means to go to church. We know what it means, but he really didn't know what it meant to be born again.
Right.
And if we're not born again, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, we can't even enter. So, but in Matthew 23:15, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, and high prophets, for ye compass sea and land to make one prostate, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves."
That's right.
So, you know, we can look good on paper. We can come to church. We can even hand out tracts. We can do things up. But if we don't become born again, just squander it alive. We're gonna spend our eternity in not a good place. So, but he was Nicodemus was a moral person.
Yeah.
And in Matthew 5, it tells us, "For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall not in no case enter in the kingdom of heaven." As righteous as we want to seem, as many times as we go to church, as many times as we help the needy, as many times as we give our tithes, our offerings, our alms, as many of those as we give, we can't get into the kingdom. So, also in Philippians 3:6, it tells us concerning zeal. And it's of the church. "Touching the righteous which is in the law is blameless." And this is where kind of I saw the Pharisees. They're almost blameless. They don't want to take they don't want to accept the fact. If they don't accept them, they're not. And I think that's something that's really hard for people to see. The simplicity of grace, being able to accept God, is the hardest part. You know, he was also sincere, for mainly the fact that he came to Jesus. You know, he was a higher order. From what I saw in the world, if you're a person of stature, you don't, most of the time you don't go to people. People come to you.
Right. Good teaching.
They look, you know, they have people come to them, not necessarily servants, but if, you know, in a business and you're over people, they come to you and you got messages. Well, Nicodemus came to Jesus.
That's good.
And was taught. And he was asking questions. You know, I think some of those questions he asked, maybe he didn't completely understand. And maybe it was just, "We're going to ask the questions. All right, I'm going to ask you straight up. Was it?" And I think that's where he got his answer. So, Philippians 3. Okay, we read Philippians 3:6. And then also in 1 Timothy. We'll look at that. 1:13. Who was before the blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious? But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. You know, all of these people that we read of in the Bible, before they get saved, they did stuff ignorant. And we do stuff ignorant. Yeah. Because we don't know it.
Right.
You know, even some of the things that we do in church is we do it ignorantly because we don't, we've not read, we've not studied,
right.
We don't know. And it's a tradition or a habit that's just passed along the way. You know, that's one we have to be careful with because Nicodemus came to Jesus. He didn't know. And I think when we go to the world is ignorant of what we do. And we can't look at them as, you know, not, you know, we can't say, ha, ha, ha. You know, you don't know, so we're not going to tell you. So we have to look at them and explain to them. And, you know, I think Jesus set a perfect example right here of just walking through the scriptures and walking through what he needed to know. Now, also, Nicodemus, he gives his confession in verse 2. So if you look in verse 2, it says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. I was reading some things about Nicodemus, and I don't know how true the story was, but it said he was able to do things almost like miracles. I don't know if he had some type of spells that he used. I don't know what they used, but what I was reading said he was able to do some of this. So I think when you look at this text, it says, thou art a teacher, I'm from God. No man could do these things except the miracle. Do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with you. So I think, you know, necessarily he had some maybe inclinations. He was able to see some things or whatever, but he wasn't able to do what Jesus did. He wasn't able to be able to answer those questions the way he did. So, and he gave a confession that, you know, he didn't understand because he was doing this stuff. And Jesus was able to answer the questions. And he saw, Nicodemus saw Jesus answering the questions. And, or doing his miracles and different things throughout. And he knew that that's why he came to him to see. So, you know, Nicodemus had a need. The Lord saw his true condition.
Right.
He saw through the holiness of his profession, his self-righteousness in his heart. And that's, you know, that's a tough one for everyone. It's hard to, as much as we want to, we have that self-righteousness in us.
Right.
And that's when the Bible tells us we got to die to self daily.
Yeah.
That's why it tells us we got to get rid of self-righteousness. And, Nicodemus, I'm sure the position he was in, had a lot of self-righteousness.
Yeah.
He also, you know, considered holy. You know, everybody looked at him that he knew the answers. He knew how to get, he knew what the religious crowd was supposed to do. And I think seeing that is where, his true heart was changed. So in Jeremiah 17 and 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds. Also in Mark 7, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. You know, that kind of falls into, if you don't know God, if you've never been raised, if you've not been related, you've not been raised religious, doing these things is not a bad thing. It kind of falls that ignorance.
Sure.
I mean, if you don't know, if you've not been, if you've not been told the culture, you've not been told, murder, fornication's bad. How are you going to know? Unless somebody tells you. And I think, Nicodemus was, I think he knew this was bad, but lining everything up and examining his heart. It's where he comes into the Lord. And also in Romans 3:23. For all sin comes short of the Lord. And that's nobody's righteous. Nobody's heart is. Nobody's deeds is strong. Nobody's works is strong to be able to get to heaven. There's no back door to heaven. There's no side entrance. There's no anything. You gotta go through the main gate, through the front doors, and there's only one way to do it.
Yeah.
So, Nicodemus didn't need a teacher. He needed a savior. And with that, they knew that Jesus was a teacher. He was teaching. But be able to see it and what he needed in his life was amazing. The Lord stated his need. This is in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Must be born again. He lacked one thing. The one thing being me. He didn't feel like he needed it. He felt like he was close enough to God that he didn't need that salvation. Now in Mark 10, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. This story, this would be a hard story to try to follow. If you read this whole story. He told us to go give everything away. I don't know that I have enough faith that I can just give everything away. That would be a hard thing to do. And being righteous enough, sometimes we have that stuff. We need more. Or we're doing it. Or we're doing more next person. But, you know, if God tells you to give everything away, all your possessions, give it to the poor, that would be a hard thing to do. That would be a hard thing.
Right.
I mean, you all might be easy. I don't feel like I have a lot. I feel like I got it. Keep it, hold it, and take care of it. So, but I think, giving that stuff away and with that would be the hardest. And you know, Nicodemus had questions throughout. In verse 4, he said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time this brother won't be born? You know, I think when I read that, I try to get, it's hard reading the context and try to figure out, okay, because I've been facetious, if that's the word, you asked questions and you already know the answer to. Maybe a little bit of a smart, like, how can you be born? You know, I could see your master. And he could have been truly honest asking. So it's hard to tell when you're in the reading. But also in verse 9, Nicodemus answered him and said, how can these things be? So he asked questions. He didn't ask many questions. Because Jesus did most of the talking. God always answers man's questions, but man cannot answer God's. So, if we ask God, he can answer a question. Sometimes we don't know. We can't answer why God did. We don't know. We don't know why God had this situation happen. We don't know why God made it tough. We don't know why God allows people that follow him closely to struggle. We don't know why God lets, well, we know that their reign is on earth and through the earth. We're going to prosper here and we put it. But sometimes we can't get our eyes on it. And that's where we need to focus on. So, in John 5:18, he gives us a question. He says, therefore the Jews sought to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also that God was his father, making himself equal. You know, when we studied this the other, did God do a bad thing by, or did Jesus do a bad thing by doing something on the Sabbath? You know, sometimes in people's eyes, but in God's eyes, you know, it's safe. So, I must be man to be born again. And we ask that question. Flesh is flesh. And we know flesh is flesh. Things seem appealing to us. We want what people have. We see a nice shiny car. We see a nice truck. We have to haul stuff. Trailers. We see people with nice houses. That's our flesh. That's our flesh talk. And I think Nicodemus saw a lot of that. He had a lot of that. He said, Christ, before he said what it took to be born again. And then we see that in verse 5-6, where it's that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit. What we put into our spiritual life is what we're going to get out of it.
Yes, sir.
If we keep it as just, we've got the milk that we need. We've got it. Just did enough to skate in that. That's all we're going to get. That's all. Did we work? Addison. Are we good examples here? So, you know, I think we have. Now, also in Romans 8, 4 through it, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the find the things, but they are after the spirit of things. So, for to be carnally minded is that spiritually minded is by peace. Because the carnal minded is against God. For it is not subject to the law. Neither indeed can. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So the Bible tells us our flesh can't please God. God cares nothing about it. God cares about our spirit. God cares about it. And no process that we can do, however much that we put on, let's do, doesn't please God. You know, I don't think just because give a lot of money. We're not in the right spirit. If we're in there, and I know there's a reference in the Bible that did that. People putting money just
sure
you can see. And if sometimes giving to the church is not necessary. Making people feel welcome.
Right.
I think doing that is what God pleases God. So,
yeah.
Matthew 7:16. I know I'm flipping through a lot of verses. So, like I said, you can follow, you can flip through, and I'll read them. But Matthew 7:16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from the thorns or figs of thistles? You know, I think we have to, knowing that we have to know what their fruits are. We need to provide good fruits.
Yeah.
If we're the grumpy person that always sits around, where do you go to church at? We go pilgrim. Not a lot of fruits in that church. If you're always. So, you know, if we're that, we're not going to be a welcome church. But if we're. People see what we do, and I know us being out at the outreaches and stuff, people say, oh, you're the church that first. Not puts us under. Not always puts us back.
Right.
And we have those conversations at the outreach.
Sure.
People tell us, you know, what we're supposed to. Now, we don't need to fall into that same practice. We need to make sure we keep working. Man by nature is dead. So, and it tells us all through the Bible. If we don't accept Christ, we're not going to be in heaven. In Genesis 2:17, but the tree of knowledge, good and evil, that thou not eatest, for in the day that thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. Now, I don't think, at that point that we necessarily had it. I think, you know, they went in the garden. It was probably a beautiful tree. Had beautiful fruit. And it was tempted, and you know, the serpent, he's really good. He's really good at telling us, it's okay. One time will hurt you. Nobody knows what you're doing. But when we do that, when you eat it, that's when, that's when we start dying. Spiritually. Like it quenches the spirit that we have in us. Man by nature is a sinner. And no one can enter into heaven. But he must have a new nature fitting for him. Psalms 51. Behold, I was sharpened in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive. Revelation 21:27. And there, in no wise enter into anything that defileth, either whatsoever worketh abomination, or make a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So we must be written into the Lamb's book of life. And if we're not, then it's going to be a... The Bible gives us all kinds of examples.
How can we go with people?
With that, we can look at Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse us, washing of water by the word. We've got to use the word to wash our mind. That's how we cleanse ourselves. Even if we are born again, even if we've accepted Christ, to keep our cleansing, to keep ourselves washed, to keep ourselves clean, the word just, and there's many verses. Also, Romans 8, or Romans. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness. We need to cleanse ourselves. We need to cleanse ourselves up. Stay in the Word. We need to spend time in prayer. Funny. For a long time, you know, I thought saying prayer was, I had to bow my head and go. Many times, and I think we talked about this a little bit on Thursday, thanks, or Wednesday, thanks. We don't have to always bow our head. So it might just be, just ask God. You know, please pray.
Sure.
If you're driving, you can't bow your head and say prayer. Sometimes bow your head and go to sleep. Driving them. But there's many times out on the road,
people are like, I got a problem. I'm
not a problem. Talk.
Throughout. What's going to be
my best example for my life? You know, in me. So I think we can spend a lot of time with it. By the Spirit of God, we apply. I learned to live for Christ. We got to learn. Once we've accepted Him, we've got to. And by doing that, We live on them. The devil rules this prayer. If we try to get to Christ, the closer we get, the harder we get. We have to be careful. In Hebrews 4, for the word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of souls, joints, the marrow, and discerner of the thoughts. God's word tells us again, God. In God's word, that what's right, what's not right. Over the past probably year, we spent a lot of times in our lives, in our family's lives, trying to get rid of worldly, as much worldly stuff as we can. You know, we started with taking out the TV. Started not, you know, before we just turned the TV on for no reason. Basically, we just turned it on out of habit. We turned it on out of habit. And now it's, we turn things on occasionally. We don't have any kind of cable. We have YouTube. We have just some different things. But eliminate that and starting to look at other things of how evil the world is. Opened our eyes up. How the closer we get in our Bible, the more that we do for God, the more we see that this world is not right. And if you're not, do not accept Christ. And Christ is knocking on your door. Today is Friday. And he doesn't give us another doubt at any moment. He don't promise us another day. So, you know, I give my testimony a little bit, a couple times. And I felt like that if I didn't accept him at that moment, I didn't have no chance. And, you know, I know some people have deathbed convictions. And I'm not saying God can't do that because you had a thief on the cross that sins. He wasn't baptized. He's the way that. He lived his whole life in a sinful way.
Yeah.
Accepted Christ on at that last moment. And I'm sure we'll end one day about the story. So, on that note, quick highlights of this. Nicodemus was a very righteous. I think he was very rich. because it mentions after Jesus was crucified, he brought over 100 pounds of essential oil,
aloe,
extremely valuable in those days. So, but he was humble enough through these scriptures to know that he needed Christ. And Christ was able to, through these verses, and, you know, I think these verses could easily go to people in the church daily for
down the door room.
This could apply to your life.
Christ.
But Nicodemus answered correctly. He made the right decision. And I hope you will today.